In this lecture, we're going to take a look at how we calculate the taxable benefit on the provision by an employer to an employee of living accommodation. So here we have a house, flat, or any property that is owned or rented by the employer, and that property is made available for use by an employee. So the employee is occupying a property provided to him by this employer. Note that living accommodation is a taxable benefit for all employees, even those earning less than £8,500 per annum. The way that the benefit is taxed depends on whether the accommodation is what we call job-related or whether it is non-job-related. Let's start by looking at job-related accommodation. If an employer provides an employee with job-related accommodation, there is no benefit arising to the employee on the use of that accommodation. Job-related accommodation is essentially accommodation which is necessary for the proper performance of the job. Employees such as caretakers on call outside normal working hours and lock keepers will live in job-related accommodation. Typically, these are employees who are normally required by their employers to live on site in order to do their job. In other words, where the employer can demonstrate that the occupation of the property is essential for the proper performance of the duties. Job-related accommodation also covers situations where accommodation is provided for the better performance of the duties, and it is customary for employers to provide living accommodation to such employees. So, for example, it is customary to provide a vicar with a vicarage in the parish. This would constitute job-related accommodation. Finally, if accommodation is provided by the employer because there is a threat to the employee's physical security, this will also constitute job-related accommodation. Certain politicians, such as the Chancellor or Prime Minister, live in job-related accommodation on Downing Street and do not pay tax on the provision by the government of their living accommodation. For the rest of this session, we're going to look at how we calculate the benefits where the accommodation provided to the employee is not job-related. There are special rules which tell us how to calculate the cash equivalent of this benefit. Let us assume that we have living accommodation which is not job-related, and the accommodation is owned or rented by the employer. We will start by looking at how we calculate the cash equivalent where the property is rented by the employer. The benefit, i.e. the cash equivalent, is the hire of the rents paid by the employer for the use of the property, or what we call the annual value of the property. You may also see this referred to as the gross rateable value. Annual value and rateable value mean the same thing. So, we take the hire of these two figures. As with most benefits, this amount will be reduced where the accommodation is not available for the whole year. From this, we deduct any employee contributions, i.e. any rents paid by the employee to the employer for the use of the property. And this will give us the cash equivalent, i.e. the taxable benefit. Remember that this method of calculating the benefit only applies where the employer is renting the accommodation from another landlord. It follows that if the employer only paid a small amount of rent in order to obtain the use of a property, the employee would only be taxed on a relatively small amount. Employers have entered into arrangements to take advantage of this by paying an upfront amount, described as a lease premium, and thereafter only paying a very small rent. Finance Act 2009 introduced legislation to counter such arrangements. For leases entered into on or after the 22nd of April 2009, where a lease premium is paid for a lease of 10 years or less, the amount of the premium will be treated as rent paid by the employer. In any tax year, the annual rent paid by the employer will be calculated as the lease premium, divided by the length of the lease, plus the actual rent paid. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Duncan is provided with a flat by his employer on the 1st of June 2010. The property is not job-related accommodation. His employer leased the property for a period of 8 years, commencing on the 1st of June 2010. The employer paid a premium of £40,000,
and pays rent of £100 per month. The annual value of the property is £1,000. The taxable benefit will be the higher of the annual value and the rent paid by the employer. The annual value is £1,000, but as the property is only available to Duncan for 10 months of the year, we prorate this amount by multiplying the £1,000 by 10/12. The rent paid by the employer is calculated by taking the amount of the premium of £40,000 and dividing this by the length of the lease, in this case 8 years. This gives an annual rental figure, so again we must multiply this by 10/12 to establish the rent for 10 months. To this we add the rent actually paid by the employer of £1,000 to arrive at total rent of £5,167. As this is higher than the annual value, Duncan will be assessed on this amount.
Different rules apply where the employer actually owns the accommodation being made available to the employee. In this situation, special rules apply, and we will look at this on the next page. Here we have living accommodation that is owned by the employer and made available for use by an employee. Also remember that we are not talking about job-related accommodation here. This is simply an employer owning a house and letting an employee live in that house. Our starting point in calculating the benefit is the annual value. The next question you need to ask yourself is, did the accommodation cost the employer less than £75,000? If the answer to this question is yes, then there is no additional charge. So if an employer buys a house for less than £75,000 and makes this house available to an employee, the benefit is simply the annual value. If the house did cost the employer more than £75,000, there will be an additional benefit to the employee. This extra benefit will be added on to the annual value. To calculate the additional charge, we start by taking the cost of the accommodation. Here, cost means the original cost plus any improvements made to the property before the start of the tax year. From this, we take off £75,000 and we multiply the difference by the ORI, which is the revenue's official interest rate at the start of the tax year. Adding this to the annual value gives us the taxable benefit. As is the case with the majority of benefits, if the employee makes a contribution towards the benefit, this can be deducted in arriving at the taxable cash equivalent. So, by way of an example, let's take an employee who lives in accommodation that is owned by his employer.
We are told that the house cost the employer £160,000
and has an annual value of £1,000. We are also told that the employee pays rents to the employer of £100 per month for the use of the house. Our job is to calculate the
taxable benefit.
The starting point is the annual value of £1,000. But because the accommodation cost the employer more than £75,000, we have an additional charge. This additional charge is the cost of £100,000 minus £75,000. And the excess of £25,000 is multiplied by the HMRC's official interest rate at the start of the year. Here we assume this to be 4%. You will see here that the additional charge is £3,400. Adding these together gives us a total benefit of £4,400. From this, we can deduct the £100 per month rent paid by the employee. This gives us a taxable benefit of £3,200. This is the figure that will be entered onto the employee's Form P11D. One point to note here is that if employee contributions exceed the amount of the benefit, no loss will arise. The result is simply a benefit of zero. One final thing to note is that if the employer pays any household bills on behalf of the employee, for example, gas, electricity and telephone bills, this will give rise to an additional and separate benefit. This benefit is calculated by taking the cost to the employer of paying these particular bills. Another thing to watch out for when calculating accommodation benefits is what we call the six-year rule. Here we have a house bought by an employer for £100,000, and this house is made available for use by the employee more than 6 years after it had been first acquired by the employer. There will be an additional charge in respect of this expensive accommodation, but this additional charge will be based not on the original cost of £100,000, as in our previous example, but instead on the market value of the house on the date the property was made available to the employee. So, in effect, in our bracket, we are simply substituting market value in place of original cost. Note that this rule only applies where there are more than 6 years between the property being acquired by the employer and it being made available to the employee. By way of an example, our starting point, as always, is the annual value, which here we have assumed to be £1,000. Our additional charge is now based on the market value of the property when it was first made available, which here we have assumed to be £120,000. We knock off the £75,000 and multiply the excess by the official interest rate at the start of the year. Again, we deduct employee contributions to give us a taxable benefit of £1,600. The important figure in this example is the £120,000, which is the value of the house when it was made available to the employee. Now, we know that house prices normally rise over time, so we would expect the original cost to be less than a later market value. However, if property prices fall, such that when the employee moves in more than 6 years later, the market value is less than the original cost, what goes into the bracket is still the market value of the property, even if this is less than the original cost. Also note that if the original cost of the accommodation is less than £75,000, there will not be an additional charge, regardless of current market value. So, for example, if a company buys a house in London in the 1960s for, let's say, £20,000, and the employee is given use of the property today when the house is worth, say, £1,000,000, there is no additional charge, because the original cost is below the £75,000 threshold. Finally, on the subject of accommodation benefits, if the house is not made available to the employee for the whole of the tax year, i.e. the employee moves in or moves out during the year, the benefit needs to be apportioned. Apportionment can be done on a monthly basis. The benefit in kind will also be apportioned if the property is provided for more than one employee at the same time. Here we simply take the total benefit and split it between the employees on a just and reasonable basis. There is a special rule relating to expenses paid on behalf of employees who live in job-related accommodation. Let's consider a vicar living in job-related accommodation. We know that the vicar will not have a benefit on the provision of the house, as the accommodation is job-related. The vicar has a salary of £20,000, and his employer pays for the gas, electricity, and telephone bills relating to the house. These come to £2,300. Remember that where the employer discharges such bills, this gives rise to an additional taxable benefit. The special rule says that where such expenses are paid on behalf of employees in job-related accommodation, the amount on which the employee will be taxed in respect of this benefit cannot exceed 10% of his other earnings from that employment for the year. Here, the vicar's emoluments for the year is his salary of £20,000. So, the amount on which the vicar will be taxed in respect of these reimbursed expenses cannot exceed 10% of this, which is £2,000. So, the vicar will be taxed on his salary of £20,000 and on bills paid by his employer of £2,000. The living accommodation itself is not taxed, as it is job-related. Remember that this 10% restriction rule only applies to expenses provided for employees in job-related accommodation. Where the accommodation is not job-related, the full amount of the expenses would be taxable.
In addition, where council tax or water rates are paid by the employer in respect of job-related accommodation, the amount of the payments are exempt from income tax.
As usual, now it is time for you to have a go at a couple of practice questions. Once you are happy with your choice of answer, check it by clicking the button on the bottom of the page. Let's take a look at the solution to Neil. We are told that Neil lives in a company-owned flat, so our starting point is the gross annual value of the property, which we are told is £800.
As the flat costs more than £75,000, there is an additional charge based on the cost of £150,000 less £75,000 multiplied by the interest rate of 4%. Adding these together gives us a taxable benefit of £3,800. You are also told in the question that Neil moved out of the flat on the 1st of January 2011.
As such, the flat was only available to him for 9 months of the tax year, so we have to apportion the benefit. As always, we knock off employee contributions. Neil pays £150 per month in rent. As he is only in the flat for 9 months of the year, his total contributions will be £1,350.
So, Neil's taxable benefit is £1,500.
Alf is a pub manager required to live in the flat above the pub. He is therefore in job-related accommodation. We are asked to calculate Alf's taxable employment income for the year. He is obviously taxable on his salary of £18,000 and on the medical insurance benefit of £500. Alf's employers also pay the gas and electricity bills on the flat. This gives rise to an additional benefit. These expenses come to £2,200. However, what we are testing here is the 10% rule for employees in job-related accommodation. The amount on which Alf is charged a tax in respect of these expenses cannot exceed 10% of his other employment income for the year. As such, the taxable expenses are only 10% of £18,500, being £1,850. Alf's taxable employment income for the year is therefore £20,350. This concludes this module on the taxation of accommodation benefits.